Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is the final episode for the year 2015. There'll still be books talked about in 2015, but I'll be recording them in the new year. So I want to wish all the listeners a happy holiday. I hope you have a wonderful time with your families, and if you can't be with your families, I hope that you have at least a peaceful and unstressful holiday filled with lots of comics, a lot of movies. Go see Star Wars. I saw Star Wars. Not going to spoil anything, but man, it was so good. It was just a mix of old and a mix of new, and it just blended so well together, and I absolutely loved it. It was such a sight to see, and I cried, I laughed, enjoyed the hell out of it, and I'm going to see it again with my family, and I'll probably see it one more time during New Year's week on the IMAX if I can get tickets. So they'll probably see it three times, and I still want to see the what is it called, The Hateful Eight, the Quentin Tarantino movie. I really want to see that. I'm a huge Quentin Tarantino fan, so that's that, and we're going to get into, before I get into some of the classic issues that I bought over the last week or so, I do want to wish a happy 50th podcast to the Valiant Podcast, to Paul and Martin, who are good friends of mine, and I hope there's a lot more coming. I listen to their podcast all the time. And you should too. It's a very interesting podcast. They don't really do like reviews or they'll talk about books, but they don't like talk about like, okay, here's the page turner, you know, here's issue 11 of Ivar or whatever. They won't do that. They'll talk about the industry in general, how Valiant Comics is doing, news that's coming up. But they won't do like reviews. They talk about a lot of different stuff. So I would recommend their podcast. They are on allcomic.com, and there's a dash in there. It's a Canadian site. You can also go to Valiant Central on iTunes and subscribe there. And if you have a chance, wish them a happy 50th on the Twitters. At Who Is Paul and at Geekvine. Or at Valiant Central, and wish them a happy 50th. It's quite a milestone. I mean, you don't get paid for podcasts. You do it because you like to do it. You know, I've been doing podcasts since like 2005, 2006, and I only do it because I love to do it. I don't do it for listeners. I love listeners that give me feedback. I love to talk to them. But it's kind of like a recording. It's when I do it with my friends, it's more like a conversation that I'd like to do with them anyway, and we just happen to record it. When I do it myself, it's a little different. When you do it yourself, it's more for yourself to it's kind of like a historical blog, except it's audio. So yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what the numbers are for my podcast. I never check them. I go through Comic Book Noise, and I never ask him for like how many downloads I have. I know there's a few listeners, and they give me feedback from time to time. I just got another rating review from another listener that I know very well, Rob. And thank you, Rob. He left a podcasting review for Mike M's Weekly Reads. So now Mike M's Weekly Reads has two on the Geek Brunch site on iTunes. And thank you very much. It's a 5-star review. I really, really, really appreciate it. That's kind of like your reward for podcasting, is like reviews or just feedback and stuff, because you really don't know who out there is listening, especially if you don't look at the numbers like I don't. It could be 5, it could be 100, it could be 1,000. I have no idea. Who knows? So let's having said that, let's get talking about some back issues purchased. I did purchase a lot of issues this last batch. I got a 15 center. It's Batman 222, 222. And this is like a really awesome cover. It's got like the Beatles. It's like a Beatles prototype of them. And they're like walking through a grave site. And Batman says, "Here they come. One of them is dead, but which one?" And he says, "The clue is on the." Robin says, "The clue is on the album cover." It's a really nice copy of the issue. I really like the cover. Very cool. So I'm getting really close on Batman and Detective to get all the comics since 1973, and I'm even getting some that are prior to that. So that's why you hear a lot of them. So we got Detective Comics 492. This is a dollar comic. These were awesome because they were a dollar, but you get so many stories. This had a Batgirl, a Batman story, Man-Bat. A weird story. Well, I'll be talking about this in the next issue of Mike M's Weekly Reads because I did read it, and Robin, and then it's got a guy who actually works on the bridge, one of the bridges of Gotham. That was my favorite story. But 492, this is Detective Comics, was really good pickup. And then I got books that I was seeking, but I really didn't know they were these issues. It's kind of like the first appearance of Alfred's daughter, which is really key. He basically had a daughter with Mademoiselle Marie, who's a World War II hero. She's the with the French Resistance, and this was when him and Lucius Fox got these mysterious letters and went back. I talk about these in detail on Geek Brunch Retrocast with Chris Ivey, so I'm not going to really go into them. But 501 and 502 are like really key issues, especially for Alfred. And if Alfred's daughter ever hits it big time, these are going to be sought after. So they're really cheap right now, but I'd highly recommend them. Awesome stories too, with a really cool backup as well. So those have Batgirl backups. And then we have another Detective Comics that's 503. Really cool cover. It's got Batgirl, Batman, and Robin on the cover. And then we got 506. This is Detective Comics 506, and it says, "Who dies for the mannequin?" This is the mannequin's first appearance. It looks like a female character. That changes her face and identity, but she has no identity of her own. And the name is spelled funny. It's Mannikin. And then it's got a Batgirl backup. And then we got the second part of that issue in 507 with Mannikin. And that's around the time Superman 2 was coming out. We got Detective Comics 513. This has a Batman coming in the door, and half of his face is Two-Face, and Robin says, "Batman, what has Two-Face done to you?" And that takes us to Detective Comics 514, and it has Batman in the snow, and he's saying, "Looking for me, punks?" And these guys have a bunch of guns pointed towards him. Really cool cover. We have smorgasbord cover, and this one is Detective Comics 515, and this has got Matches Malone. It's got Dayla, Vicky Vale, all kinds of cool stuff. It's also got like the first, it's the first appearance of like a Legion or Legion of Villains or something like that. I can't remember what they call themselves. It's like some kind of crime syndicate. So that's really cool. And then we jump into Flash, and this is a really good Flash I picked up. This is a Flash 114 with Captain Cold, and it's his second appearance. It's really cool issue. I was glad to pick that up. That is after 1973. But I mean, before 1973, but I am working on flashes, so a lot of these are prior to 1973. I have a Flash 133. It's not a very good copy. It looks like a very good copy, but it's got hole punches in it, so I got it really cheap. But it's Flash versus Abracadabra the Magician. Really cool. And then we got Flash 134. This is another Captain Cold, and it has elongated man on the cover along with Flash. And Captain Cold said, "Who needs my cold gun now when I have a secret weapon, the elongated man helping me escape from the Flash?" A three-star thriller with the Flash, elongated man, and Captain Cold. So that's Flash 134. Then I have Flash 145 featuring the Weather Wizard. Really cool cover. And this one's a big one. This is the wedding of Flash 165, the wedding of Barry Allen and Iris West. And it has Flash running in while Barry's there. And I guess the priest is saying, if anyone can show just cause why Barry Allen and Iris West should not be wed, let him now speak or forever hold his peace. And Flash runs in saying, "Stop the wedding. Iris is marrying the wrong man." So yeah, those are really cool pickups. So that was the back issue pickups of this past couple weeks. Next we're going to talk about the weekly reads. That's from December 7th going to December 13th. And let's see, I didn't even total these. 22, 24, 26, 27. We got 27 comics read that week. Not a whole lot. A lot of individual series on this. So I'm going to start at the bottom. We have, well, not at the bottom. I'm going to, the ratings are 5 love it, 4 really like it, 3 like it, 2 did not like it, 1 hated it. And the distribution is DC is 14 red, IDW is 1, Innovation is 1, Image is 6, Marvel is 2, Overground is 2, and Valiant is 1. So we'll start at the bottom. We had Absent Captain number 1. This was from Overground. And for some reason, I just didn't like this. This was like a superhero organization, and the one guy seems to own like a corporation, and that guy is killed, and I guess that's why he's absent captain, and his team is being framed for it. I don't know what's missing in these books. It's like they're done well. But it's like the person is starting to learn how to tell stories in a comic format, as well as the artist that he's choosing. It's a John Hughes is writing all of these. I think they're Overground, yeah, Overground Comics, and their goal is that time matters and everything that happens in the book matters. And we're only one issue in on this. So I hope it improves. I am going to stick with it, at least for the foreseeable future. The next one at 3 out of 5 is Dark Knight Strikes Again, number 3. This is the finale of the second series with Frank Miller. And when I rated the other ones, number 1 and 2, I really loved them. I thought there was a lot of great characterization. It was kind of like Batman was forming his team, Superman was forming his team, and they were building up to this battle. And there were also villains that were in the limelight, and the president was Luthor, and there's all kinds of weird shit happening. And number 3 just kind of like, it was like written like, what the hell just happened? It's just like the art seemed more loose. It was very out there. There's some weird scenes I can't even figure out why they're there or what they're representing. The book is all over the place sequentially, so it's like you have one scene where you have Superman and Batman talking, and then it jumps forward again, and it just keeps bouncing around, and there's like no linear. sense that could be made of it. Having said that, I still liked it. I was able to grasp pieces of the story. I just didn't like the way it was told or the way it came to a conclusion. Really, really surprise villain, who I think you'll be very surprised to see who it is. I don't want to give it away, but it is a Batman character. And going up one more notch for the 3 out of 5 is The Graduate, also a John Hughes book. This one I like slightly more than the other one, even though the story didn't go anywhere. It's almost like an episode that if you ever watch Twilight Zone the movie and there's a monster on the wing of the plane, that's kind of what this is like. And it's like this girl with superpowers who is invulnerable is on a plane of superheroes heading somewhere, and this character attacks them because he wants to destroy all superheroes. And it's a really not untight like plot. It's like what they told in 22 pages or 20 pages was almost like 2 panels worth of information if you condense the story. But I really did like the art. Like I said, the writer was John Hughes and the artist was Celia Kelly. And it was a really lanky art style, like very indie, but I really liked where it was going. It reminded me of a book I like called Short Stack, and but not as extreme as Short Stack. Short Stack is kind of like Picasso art, but this kind of looked kind of like it. Or at least it reminded me of it. So that was also an overground comic, and I'm gonna probably stick with that one too. And then we jump into the 4 out of 5s, which I really like it. We had Justice League, Darkseid War, Flash #1. This one had Jesus Moreno on art, and let me see who told the story. Justice League. I gotta go to my database. Justice League, if I could spell. Darkseid War Flash. I think it was, yeah, it was Rob Williams and Jesus Moreno. Jesus Moreno drew an awesome Flash. Like, I wish he was drawing the Flash monthly. It was just an awesome looking book to see. And if you've been reading Justice League, he is kind of like the god of death, the Black Racer, who's a new god, actually merged with Flash, and this is kind of that story. I really enjoyed this one. This was one of the better Justice League Darkseid War books that I'd recommend, especially if you're a Flash fan. It's a must get. The next one, 4 out of 5, was Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles #1. This is a crossover with Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from IDW. So actually, it's from it's being released by DC. And this must be the agreements they're doing, because if you remember, there was a Green Lantern or Star Trek Green Lantern book, but that was published by IDW. Well, this is Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles published by DC, and it's by James Tynion, who's no stranger to Batman. He's been doing a lot of work with Batman Eternal, and also artist is Freddie Williams. Very The second very diverse artist whose style is constantly changing, but I find him to be an amazing artist. Also a great person to talk to at conventions. Like had a lot of discussions with him about the process and how things are done, and he just like loves it. You could see he gets into it, he gets excited about it as he describes the process. He's a really cool guy. Next up is Scarlet Witch. This is Jimmy Robinson and Vanessa Del Rey. I love Vanessa Del Rey's art so much. The book was a good starting point for Scarlet Witch, and she seems to have, I can't remember if her name is Agatha, but she was the old woman in the old Marvel comics that would always take care of Pedro and Wanda, and she's dead, and the image, her image always appears up to Scarlet Witch. It's kind of like her, like in Iron Man when he has Jarvis. Even though he's not there, he's always talking to him. That's kind of like what this is about with Scarlet Witch. We got like a lot of mysterious magical things happening, and Scarlet Witch is trying to figure out what is happening. It's a really good book. I don't think Vanessa Del Rey is staying on it, which is not good for me, but I think I'm gonna really enjoy it because I like Jimmy Robinson. I like what the stories that he tells. The next one was the first series of Hawk and Dove. I almost have a full run of the first series, have a full run of the second series. The third series I don't have. That's the rock and roll kind of Hawk and Dove. They didn't even look like Hawk and Dove. And there's a fourth and fifth series, and I have all of them except for that rock and roll Hawk and Dove. And I think I'm missing two issues, three and six of the first iteration of Hawk and Dove. This was a really good issue. I don't know why it doesn't succeed. It's got Steve Ditko art. I can't remember if it's Steve Skeets who writes it, but it is very different because it's about two brothers that really can't stand each other, and they're like light and day, and they're granted abilities, and they approach things on total opposite sides of the spectrum, and I really like it. The only reason I think they're not liked, I guess, and they weren't successful is because their banter back and forth and their hatred for one another could get like overwhelming at times. So I don't know if that's why Hawk and Dove never took off, because during this time, they were introduced in Showcase, then they got their own series, but it didn't last long, and then they appeared sporadically in Teen Titans. And then not until Rob Liefeld and that team came and brought them back. I think they appeared in Crisis, although Dawn died in Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was the brother that was non-aggressive. Hank is the brother that's really aggressive. So yeah, it was a good issue. Then we had Star Trek Green Lantern number 5. I could have sworn I read number 6 too. You know what? I did. I finished the series and I didn't take credit for it. So this was another IDW book, and so I actually read 28, not 27. Forgot to take credit for that. I finished this arc. It was really, really good. If you're a fan of Green Lantern, I think you'll enjoy it. If you're a fan of the new Star Trek movies, I think you'll also enjoy it. It's the new crew. It's not the William Shatner, but it's the current crew that's currently there. Really good series, really well done. Especially if you're a Geoff Johns fan, the writer paid a lot of attention to what happened when Geoff Johns was writing the Green Lanterns. And then we get into Trees. You see how this is moving up the list. It became addictive, and this arc changed a lot. I mean, the storytelling in 9, 10, and 11 changed the direction of the book like entirely, and it's just a fascinating series that jumps around a lot, but once you get hooked on it, it's really, really good. And then we got Justice League 3000. You can remember from the previous, I've read 3001. Absolutely loved it. Those were 5 out of 5s. Well, I went back and started to finish Justice League 3000. I read 8 through 10, and these ones were ranked a 4 out of 5. I don't think they ki like I read also 11 through 15, and those were 5 out of 5s. And that's around the time that Booster Gold and Fire and Ice and all that stuff started showing up. So, and it seemed like the characters started to get more defined. And one of the twins actually becomes a Flash, which is really cool because she's a very likable character. At least I like her a lot. Wonder Woman gets really annoyed with her. But at the same time that she's annoyed, I think she really cares for her. And really good series. I highly recommend it as an Elseworlds. It's just a fun, lighthearted, but very adventurous tale. And Howard Porter does really great on the arts, and Giffen and DeMatteis, they do no wrong. As you go through the later parts of 3000, and then you jump into 3001, they start to get their flavor of the Justice League International. Like, it starts to get more and more like that book. And I find it really cool. So the last 4 out of 5 is Mage Agency Special. This is the detective agency from Innovation. And I am starting to become addicted to these stories. They're kind of like done in one detective stories, and it's about a male and a female, and it's like watching Moonlighting, essentially. The characters are a lot like that, and this one had like four stories in it, four short stories, and they were all really well told. And then we jump into Justice League 3000, like I just talked about. 5 out of 5s now is 11 through 15. This is when Booster Gold and Blue Beetle appeared in this time. Really cool story. And then they start fleshing out Fire and Ice. So it's like the Justice League International's in the future. And really cool stuff. Highly recommend it. So that's from DC Comics. And then from Image, we have Todd the Ugliest Kid on Earth. This has constantly been a 5 out of 5. It was supposed to be optioned for an animated series. At the time, these books were hot because of low print runs. But they kind of, when they announced it ongoing around 5, something must have happened. And I don't know if they just weren't selling enough copies, you know, because the low print run that they could justify keep doing them. But it didn't turn out to be an ongoing. We got like two more issues when they announced the ongoing, and then it was canceled. But it is a very, very funny and well done comic book. It has got a lot of humor and fast paced, and the comedy is amazing. It's one of the best comedy books that's on the shelves ever to hit the shelves. So I'd recommend that. Todd the Ugliest Kid on Earth. Then I read the second read of Bloodshot number 8. I already talked about it. Bloodshot's really become really good for me. I absolutely love where the book is going, and hope to read more of it. We got Amazing Spider-Man Renew the Vows number 2. This is like a battle royal title, where in this world there's a villain who has to kill all the superheroes, basically captures them and then siphons or steals their powers and keeps them in jars when and then they eventually die. So most of the superpowered characters, he's absorbed their powers, and he has their powers for a while until he burns them out. And once they're gone, you know, they're dead, and he moves on to more superpowers. But he tries to have as many as possible. And Spider-Man is kind of like one of the only heroes left with powers, but he's like hiding underground just so he could protect MJ and his daughter. And they don't want his daughter doing anything, and they have to put inhibitors on her. This really good book. Highly recommend that one. It is so good. It's a Dan Slott and Kubert story. And I finished it this week, and it didn't let me down. It was good from beginning to end. Then we got Detective Comics 501, 502. We already talked about those. That was the Alfred Dodder storylines. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend seeking these issues out. Who knows? They might be really valuable someday if Alfred's daughter ever really takes off. You know, she's been featured in Batman Eternal a lot. And maybe she'll be featured in more. Even though it's an alternate universe, it's still her first appearance. And it still looks like they're keeping some of the Mademoiselle Marie thing intact with Alfred. So, last but not least, we got Tokyo Ghost. This series is Rick Remender and Sean Murphy, and this book is probably one of the best books that's come out this year. It is this post-apocalyptic world where technology has taken over, and they have to go on a mission in this particular place, which seems like it's techno-free. At least that's what they lead us to believe. And her boyfriend, the main girl, he's basically unplugging himself from the technology, and it's like a person going through like severe withdrawals, and she's dealing it with him, and really gives a lot of backstory between their relationship as well. Fascinating story. Highly recommend it. You should be checking it out, or if at least give it a try, because it's amazing. If you don't like it, it's probably because you don't like that genre, post-apocalyptic, or well, there's nothing wrong with not liking it, but I absolutely love it. So that kind of wraps up this week's stuff. I was kind of like in a hurry because I'm actually getting sleepy and I have to get up early tomorrow. So that'll be the last one for this year. If you want to leave feedback, please tweet me at Mike Myers Brunch. Leave an iTunes review if you could. I'd really appreciate it. Or if you could just retweet when there are episodes out there, or like them on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, on Facebook, you could reach us at Geek Brunch Podcast. That's where these episodes are posted. My email is mike@comicbooknoise.com if you want to get hold of me on email. And again, thanks, Rob, for leaving the iTunes review. I really, really, really appreciate it. And Rob also talked about an overlooked comic on his Twitter feed, and he said he really enjoyed the Overground comics. So he feels a lot different than I do. I liked it. I think he was more, I really liked it kind of thing, like a 4 out of 5 maybe for him. So he really enjoyed where that story was. It captivated his attention. And just goes to show, everybody finds different books to be interesting. If you see him on Twitter, he reviews a lot of books, and he'll have different opinions. So I think that's all I want to talk about. And I wish you all a happy holiday, and I hope you have a wonderful time. Bye bye.